At Sierra, discover great deals on top brand workout gear, like high-quality walking shoes, which might lead to another discovery.
40,000 steps, baby! Who's on top now, Karen?
You've taken the office step challenge a step too far. Don't worry, though. Sierra also has yoga gear. It might be a good place to find your zen. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Pro Savings Days are back at Lowe's. My Lowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Welcome into the Tour Coach, everybody. I'm your host, Tony Ruggiero, as I am every week here on the Tour Coach podcast. If you've been listening for a while or you've recently started listening, you probably know that, or if you're new, this is really for you, but these are the stories and the conversations and the chats with the people that I meet in my journey in golf, coaching, teaching, playing golf. These are the fitness instructors, the mental coaches, the performance coaches, the other teachers, the players, and the people that I run into day-to-day teaching and coaching that I think shed interesting perspectives, have great views, and information that can help all of you that love the game of golf play better, coach better, teach better, practice better. It's all in an effort to give you the best information. So hopefully you like these conversations here on the Tour Coach. We appreciate all of you listening and watching. And more importantly, or equally as important, we appreciate our sponsors, Mitch McConnell and Buick GMC, Blaine Stokely, Stokely's Midtown Garden Center, Taylor Martino and Rowan. And none of this would be possible without the folks at Schrixon Golf and Vineyard Vines and Bushnell. They've been with us forever. We're going to be with you, helping you play the game of golf better. Enjoy the Tour Coach podcast. Go find us on YouTube, Dew Sweeper TV. Follow us, like us, comment.
So this is a cool one for me. Somebody, I think, joining us here for the Golf Coach Development, the Tour Coach, one of the great teachers in the game. The first ever real golf school I got to do with great and top teachers was with Rob Akins up in Memphis. And that was the first time I ever got to go out in public and teach and be with my old mentor, Hank. And Randy was one of the teachers there. That's the first time I ever got to teach with you, Randy. I got to stand on the putting and chipping green, I think, with you up in Nashville at that trip. And we had a good time. That's the first time I ever drank Coors Lights with you. So thanks for taking the time for doing this. I know you're crazy busy. And congratulations on all the success, but especially, I mean, this year with Scotty's been, it's been awesome to watch.
I appreciate that, Tony. It's good to be with you.
Well, I messed up by coming up with my questions ahead of time last night. So you've seen some of them, but, so let's go ahead and start. We had a bunch of questions come in. I thought this would be great to go through. One of the things I've always loved about you and your teaching is your development of junior players. And, you know, you've taken so many players from really good young players to the tour and so forth. That's my passion, is teaching young players. I wanted to ask you, What's the difference between develop and juniors today versus like 20 years ago? Do you see it any different? Is there any difference? How do you approach it?
Well, there's definite difference in the last 20 years. You know, I think today there's, you know, I hate to say it, but I think there's a lot more expectation on the juniors that are coming up because, you know, they get a little bit of talent. They got this nice little swing. They, you know, the old boy in this great. And then all of a sudden, the dollars kind of flow into that, you know. And well, he's got a lot of talent. So he's going to make a great player. And he's, you know, 8, 9 years old. And all of a sudden, the expectations on that child go way up. So I think you have to approach it a little bit differently than you did 20 years ago. 20 years ago, it was about having a junior camp, get the kids exposed, and get them wanting to play golf. Now, if you right. got them wanting to play golf, you had a success because you had excitement and the kids want to play, and then you take it from there. But you, these kids that are coming out now, there's preconceived notions that they're going to be the greatest thing since Tiger Woods, and sometimes you have to kind of keep an eye on that.
Did you like it better back then or now? Or same?
Can I plead the fifth?
Yeah, you can.
you know, I think there are positives to both sides of it. Back then, you know, it was fun because you just get them out there and, you know, there wasn't – and you didn't feel any pressure to make them the next Tiger Woods. Now then, you know, well, let's see. We got to see improvement here. We got to see this. We got to see that. And I think many cases, you know, that 8-year-old is still thinking about back then they were thinking about playing football, basketball, you know, dodgeball, whatever it was. Today, they're thinking more about what's on their electronic device, you know, and this and that and the other. So it's a little bit different. The expectations, I think, now are much higher on the instructor.
Now, before Jackson lets you start asking some questions, but my last question was, what when you have a junior come to you and the parents, everybody thinks that they could be good, what are the qualities that you look or that you see in a junior? Like, what did you see in Scotty when you saw him at such a young age that you said, hey, this kid could be special? I mean, I know that doesn't always pan out like it did with Scotty, but what are some of the qualities now that you look for in juniors where you say, hey, this kid's got a chance to be pretty dang good?
Well, you know, I'm kind of weird in this, so you got to take a little bit of it, I guess, with a grain of salt. But when a junior comes up, from the standpoint of my initial look at them, and the first 5 minutes, I kind of get a pretty good feel for what kind of kid they are. Mm-hmm. You know, is this a little Johnny who's entitled to the manor and that type attitude? Or is it a kid that's fun, is curious, and active? And if I've got those little things going there, then I feel like I can say stuff to the kid to kind of stimulate those areas.
Right.
So I go, oh, okay, it's going to be a good kid. Now, he probably can't hit it at all, but he's a good kid. Yeah. And I can have some fun with him. Now, from the standpoint of hitting a golf ball or up there, you know, working on them, I'll sit there and I may watch 15, 20 minutes and just talk to them and watch what they do. And if the kid has a target, now this is my hot button. If, say, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, whatever, is sitting there and has a specific target for every shot that he hits or she hits, I'm getting excited because that shortcuts a lot of things because it's tied to the target. It's not tied to watch how good my swing looks and watch me hit it down the range. And if they're tied to a target, and they, no matter if they're hitting it or not, you can see if they're going after it. You don't have to ask them if they're going at it. Then if they're really special, they get bored. And I like it when they get a little bored because that target right there, I've worn out. I want this target over here. I love that target. I like it when you see a kid that's up there on the range and the range picker rides in front of them at about 75 to 100 yards and they can't help it and they're going to bury down on that target. and they hit the range bigger. I love stuff like that because I know I have a chance to shortcut a lot of other stuff because they understand the target is what's important.
Amen to that. JP's on the line now too, so if you need to apologize for anything, but JP, thanks for jumping in and joining us.
Thanks, Tony. Great to hear Randy. I've always admired him, and we've had a few good chats at a few tournaments. His guy normally wins the tournament, but that's the way it is.
Now, again, my apologies. I messed up one of your kids when he's down here messing around, so I told him to get back home as quick as possible and get it fixed. And I apologized. I said, I'm sure Justin could untangle the web. And so there you have it. I did.
Yeah. Could I ask one question, yes, Tony? Because it was interesting. A lovely young man, Harper Staggs, who went down, took a lesson from Randy. And I've watched a few things. And I think for those teachers who watch this, there's always a lot of humor and there's always a very relaxed feel whenever I watch Randy teaching. And Harper came back from his golf lesson with Randy, and I said, what was it like? He said, oh, I had a lot of fun and had a good time. And I don't know whether, Randy, you could just, you know, help the guys understand just how important, you know, not only from a standpoint of teaching juniors, but teaching any player, that you've got to use a little bit of humor and you've got to interact with people the right way.
Well, you know, you're sitting there working with, it doesn't matter if it's a junior or who it is. If you can't establish common ground with that student, it makes it very difficult. And when I say common ground, mine is I'm going to ask weird questions. I'm going to get them to say stuff and figure out where they're coming from, what's their hot buttons, what's going on. And if you can mix in humor and the humor is received properly, it will come back to you. And once you all both kind of giggling about stuff, then the learning seems to happen because there's a certain trust. If you take yourself to a doctor's office and you've got a problem, okay, and you walk in, the doctor comes flying out there, you know, finally comes in, and he is like a beige wall and just X, Y, Z, this, that, and the other, you're not comfortable. You're not going to be comfortable. So somebody comes in and goes, hey, I like your shirt. What's that logo on the sleeve? What's going on? Bye, bye, bye. Your shoes. Wow, those are cool looking shoes. Okay, let's see what's going on. You play golf? Yeah, yeah. You know, just anything in that doctor's office that can make you more comfortable is the same thing as instructors, that if we can get that level of comfort, you know, with the student, then we'll get it coming both ways. And when you get that, you get learning.
Brilliant.
That's great. Jackson, you want to go through some of the questions we had? And I'm sure you had a couple as well. And anybody on this has anything they want
absolutely to do? What is a strong stance you took early in your coaching that is more subjective or changed today?
Oh, man. Well, that's a good question. A strong stance that I took?
Yes, sir.
I don't know if there was a stance so much as that early on when I decided I was going to teach. And I did that when I was still head golf professional. And so for 37 years, I was head golf professional, but the main thing I did was teach. And that started with some things that happened early on that kind of made me get away from merchandising and all that and hiring people to do that for me. And I went to the range. 80% of my time was spent giving lessons. And I saw more members at the lesson tee than I would ever see in my golf shop. So that worked out beautifully. But the stance I changed when I first started teaching, as we all do, we look at what we do as a player. Okay, I need to do more of this. So if I can get Miss Jones to do more of that, then therefore it's going to work. And I did that for a while when I first started teaching, okay, because I was the only, I'm just, whatever worked for me, right? But then all of a sudden, I figured out Miss Jones has got a bad elbow. I figured out that Dr. Ruby's got a spinal deal in the middle of his back that doesn't allow him to do certain things. And then I figured out that this person is about as athletic as Play-Doh, but they still want to play golf. So I kind of got to seeing these things, and all of a sudden I developed what I call my toolbox situation. I developed a toolbox that can work with anybody. And that's what I changed right then. I want to know more about the golf swing. Okay, how's this work? When, what do we do with X? This is a tall, athletic person. This is a round, non-athletic person. And kind of got to where I could deal with different types of people. Once I could deal with different type of people, instead of just thinking about myself, I became much more successful in instruction.
Excellent. Great stuff. Jackson?
What's the biggest challenge facing young coaches today?
I think they probably, young coaches may be a little bit skewed toward the great player or the good player or the best player.
Mm-hmm.
Their talent as a teacher is judged off the success of a really good player that they happen to work with. So therefore, if you can get Billy to make his high school top five, then you can get my little Tommy to make his high school top five. And he makes the top five. Oh my goodness. Well, here comes this school and he's the next coming. And all of a sudden you think you really got something there. And all of a sudden you start kind of every bit of your teachings toward the good player. Well, the good players normally aren't the ones that sign contracts for you at a teaching facility that they want to have a great instructor at. It's usually that 12 handicapper that really wants to be a 10. And you have to be able to do that. And the work, any work I've done with really good players, I can probably go back and find a 14 handicap, 70-year-old man, someplace in there that has helped my instruction with a great player. Usually it's the other way around. But you know what? I can tell you what, that guy was releasing the club a little different. I don't see that. Well, that we can try that with this tour player. We're going to have a little of this. So I think I learned at that point when I was dealing with all kinds of players, it helped my instruction across the board.
How much, Randy, real quick, how much do you still teach like members and stuff like that? I know you obviously got tons of great players and young players, but you still enjoy teaching folks of all skill levels and that type of stuff?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because it's always a challenge.
Uh huh.
You know, and the thing it's kind of cool about it, say you've got a member calls me up. Okay. We get him scheduled up, put him in there. Comes out and I'll do a little interview with him. I already know him, but I'm going to talk to him a little bit. And as I'm talking to him, what in the hell is the answer you get every time? What do you want to see that? What do you want to do to get better? What's the answer you get, Tony?
Oh, I get people that when I ask them what they need to do to get better, it's I've got to hit it further, drive it further.
Okay, that's a good one.
I get a lot from like senior golfers down here. I'm just taking senior golfers in South Florida. Oh, I need to hit it further.
Okay, Justin, what's the thing you get?
Consistency.
Thank you. There it is. Okay. There we go. I want to be more consistent. I said, oh, really? Well, you want to be more consistent. Okay, consistently what? And they go, what do you mean? Okay, right now you're hitting a consistent pull slice. That is consistent as you are ever going to get it. That's wonderful. But I don't like the slice. I said, well, now we're getting someplace. Now you've broken through. Do you want to see some hooks? Do you want to draw the ball? Do you want to go higher in the air? Do you want to do this? You want to get specific with me, and we're going to really get into it. And once you do that, then you can have a lot of fun with them because if they're a dead pull slicer and you get them hit a few hooks, man, you've got a customer forever.
Right.
You know? And so, you know, that to me is, I hate the words consistency. I love it. Where do you buy consistency? It's CVS, and does it come with a guarantee? And can you take it back? I mean, what do we want to do? And once you get students telling you what they really want to do, that's up to you, the instructor. That's not up to them because they're going to hit you with the stock answer every time. I don't think I answered that question very good, but we'll go
with it. You did. We'll go with it. Jack's next.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin at 16 weeks. And most of those people maintain skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
Imagine fast hydration combined with balanced energy. Perfectly flavored with zero artificial sweeteners. Introducing Liquid IV's new Energy Multiplier Sugar-Free. Unlike other energy drinks, you know, the ones that make you feel like you're glitching, it's made with natural caffeine and electrolytes, so you get the boost without the burnout. Liquid IV's new Energy Multiplier Sugar-Free Hydrating Energy. Tap the banner to learn more.
There's a reason Chevy trucks are known for their dependability, because they show up no matter the weather, push forward no matter the terrain, and deliver. That's why Chevrolet has earned more dependability awards for trucks than any other brand in 2025, according to J.D. Power. Because in every Chevy truck, like every Chevy driver, dependability comes standard. Visit Chevy.com to learn more. Chevrolet received the highest total number of awards among all the trucks in the J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Vehicle Dependability Study. Awards based on 2022 models. Newer models may be shown. Visit jdpower.com/awards for more details. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
Doug. Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
What are some of the challenges working with a player over the long term that people might not expect?
Taking for granted that they won't revert on you.
Wow.
Once it's there, it's always there. Look for small things that create it. If you're working with a really, really good player, how far is that swing going to get off?
How
far is that motion going to get off? You know, it's not going to get off that much. It may be something very, very small. And that's one thing I really like to do is look for the small things, especially in long-term relationships, and have a little bit of a checklist, an A, B, C. What am I looking at? That looks the same. That's good. That's good. That's fine. From there, if all those things are checking out, then if there's a problem, then we have to keep looking. And it may be as small as a small grip movement. Why did you change your grip? Great player? I don't know. You know, Tony, this is a good one. I had a guy who was club champion, played this course a good while back. All of a sudden, he couldn't hit it. He couldn't hit anything. I finally got to look at him and said, what did you do to your grip? I said, I've done nothing to my grip. Yes, you have. And I moved his hand back over and put it back over here. He says, well, it doesn't feel comfortable there. And I said, why? He says, okay, this is right up your alley, Tony. He says, I don't know. I can't figure anything out. My hands feel like they don't fit the club anymore. Well, it turns out he finally gets honest with me. He says, I have really had a lot of fun with this wine club. Wine club? I said, what the hell? What do you mean in a wine club? What's that have to do with your grip? He says, well, I don't know, but we had a big wine thing last night, and I might have had a little bit too much wine, but I don't think it's affecting my grip. Well, I talked to a doctor. He says, well, yeah, it is, because tannin is in wine, red wines, I think is what they said it was. Tannin creates a swelling in the extremities. I went, whoo, some good information. I took that to him. I said, okay. I put your hand over here, it feels like it doesn't fit because your hands are getting fat. They're getting puffy. You're changing for comfort, but yet you can't hit a golf ball. And it was true.
Did you make him quit the wine club? Did he quit the wine club?
Did he ever? But he didn't quit the beer and whiskey club, but he quit that wine club pretty quick. No, but you got to look at, you can't take for granted the small things in a really good player, a great player. Okay. As they go along, you have to have an ABC to check, make sure those things are the same, and then work on what makes them even better. Okay. And hopefully the work is not in a position of the elbow, the right leg, the hip turn, this, that, or the other. Hopefully it's in creating a golf shot in a practice situation that they would have on the golf course when they go play. If you create shots and you can work on creating shots, heights, windows, ball curve, all those things, then you're rehearsing for the job. You're rehearsing for the event instead of rehearsing for making the golf swing look good.
Jackson?
How do you get players to mentally accept and trust what you're working on? And then how do you continue to reaffirm that when they keep going without you?
Number one's result. If the result of what is what we're doing creates the illusion, okay, then the curiosity goes crazy. Oh, okay, I felt that. Oh, that ball, oh, that's it. You want the oh wow moment, and you've got to get that oh wow moment. There isn't a student, and I guarantee you, Justin will agree with you, there is not one student that would come up to him that he can't eventually get them into an oh wow moment. If you don't go for the oh wow moment, you're going to have problems with that lesson. You may have problems with that customer coming back to you.
Jackson?
What coaches do you admire outside of golf and why?
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, one's long past, but he was absolutely one of my favorite all times was Tom Landry. Because of the way he went about things. He didn't have a lot of humor or anything, but he had a lot of results, and his players loved him. And I think the cool thing is when the players really respect and appreciate their coach, and that's what you saw with Tom Landry. Another one, I hate to keep going on football, be Andy Reid. Because he's doing more with less than anybody in the NFL. That's the way I look at him. He's got less talent. He's got the number three or four worst offense. Nobody believes that. How could that be when they're undefeated? Well, they still win. Okay? And winning is like the target in golf. You know? I may not have swung that club that good, but that ball ended up at that target. I may not have played the first quarter and the third quarter worth a darn. I may have had two interceptions and only one touchdown pass, but we won the football game. So that's kind of like playing golf. It's about the target.
What exists for young coaches now that you wish you had, if anything?
What exists for young coaches now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Tony, you consider yourself young?
That's not much anymore.
Okay.
I'm 53.
So hey, Justin.
But
okay, young. Justin, do you consider yourself young?
At times.
Well, what a bunch of cop outs. Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and say it.
No.
I would like. If I was a young coach right now, I would thank a lot of the old coaches, not me, but a lot of the old coaches that went before and walked out on that ice and found out where the weak spots in the ice were as they went across the lake, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
They went before you, you know. A great example, a man that's been you know, part still to this day, I'll reference him, is Harvey Pinnock.
Mm-hmm.
The simplicity, but the simplicity matched with knowledge. Okay. Jim Flick, you could put him in front of 50 people that did not like him when he walked in the room, and 50 people will be, they'd vote for him for president tomorrow when they left the room. But he had the ability to take and move people a certain direction and to gain comfort with those individuals. So I got, here's Harvey Pinnock with a bunch of simplicity and common sense and an eye. Then you have Jim Flick with with people skills and knowledge together. And, you know, we can pick on, you know, I pick on Butch Harmon a lot because, you know, Butch is one of them older guys, you know. I love
he wouldn't think he's old.
Well, no, you can't convince him of it. And you know what? That's part of the beauty of him. But yeah. At the same time, he's liable to say it exactly how he wants to say it. And that will be with Flaherty language. And what in the hell are you doing? And I love that because you see that type of instructor is pushing the student to do better. Mm-hmm. And with, you know, like with Butch, he knows when to push that button and when he can push it and get away with it. And if it's going to be positive to push them, Bob Toski was the same way, is the same way. People like that. And I just reference those guys, you know, because if you look what they did before young Randy came up, okay. I mean, there's a lot of things going on. A lot of things going on. People have learned a lot, and it's made me, the young instructor, makes my path a little bit different. Now, it's up to me going down that path to make sure that I don't abuse it. And I'm not sitting there teaching one single thing to every person that walks up. I'm not going to be focused on every one of my lessons is done with force plates. I'm not going to be focused on every one of my lessons is with the video stuff. I'm not going to be focused on every one of my lessons being total track, man. I mean, I'm going to interact with the person and see what they're doing. I want to interact with the person, see what they're doing. So they look at me instead of the machine. I use the machines, but I want it to be about me and my relationship with that student. So the trust is with me and not the numbers.
Fantastic. Jackson, one or two more?
We are all out of questions, but if anybody else in the room wants to shoot a couple, I'm happy to read them off. Tony and JP, if you want to fire a few more.
JP, you got anything you want to ask?
No, well, no, not right now, but I think I would like to comment, you know, again, for those young ones, and Randy, thanks so much for doing this. It's been a nice little journey with this, and it's interesting to me when I listen to a master of what we do, how much he's valuing the human interaction, the ability to get on the same kind of playing field as the person he's in front of, the fact that he doesn't ever want to teach the same thing to everybody, the fact that he learns from teaching different players of different abilities all the time. And I just think, Tony, for me, that's the greatest messaging that we can be giving to these young teachers if they really want to improve. And you know, again, I think a lot of that's gold, and thanks to Randy for doing that for us.
No, I love it. I think that all the young teachers have all this information now, and Randy, it seems like, you know, the more folks you're around, the personal part, the part you talked about, really getting on their level and getting them to open up, isn't something that's focused on as much anymore. Everybody talks about your biomechanics and the science and stuff. And I think that's what you talked about is such an important thing, but so cool and refreshing to hear you talk about and the importance of it when you're trying to make folks play their best.
Well, I appreciate that, but you know, it's just kind of the way I kind of feel about it, because we can throw all of the, we can get every fact. This is a fact, this happens. This is a fact, this happens. This is a fact, this happens. And put it on a student. And these are facts. You have to do this for your body style to do better. And that's not a fact. because we don't know what's in their system. We don't know how their system runs, you know, and once we understand the person and how they run, how their system is running, I think we can have a lot more fun with them. And, you know, it's a lot of fun to sit there and take a Deadpool slicer and turn them into a hooker in 30, 40 minutes. I mean, just snap hooks. And never see anybody get that happy over a big old rope and fish hook snap hook, right? And they're ecstatic because it felt different. It was a total different ball curve. And once you have them that way, that's the same kind of student that you might have in 6 months that not only can hit a draw, but can hit a fade, you know? And then when you see them do that and they start to progress down that road, it is absolutely the most gratifying thing you can probably ever get.
No question. I think we had one.
Randy, one from me, Tony. You know, I think one of the questions that you get a lot, and I get a lot, Randy, is that, you know, the younger teachers, they often ask, like, what is the one thing that you would do to help accelerate the process of you becoming a better teacher? And my answer to this over the years has probably changed. And I think, you know, if I was 21, 22 again, and I knew this is the path that I wanted to be down, it would almost be like speed dating golf instruction, given 15-minute golf lessons all day, every day for 2 or 3 years. I think that's probably the best way to really get better, to your point, like meeting lots of different people, seeing different body styles, having to get to know people quickly, having to be able to create rapport and interaction with people. And I just wondered, Randy, from your side, whether you think that would be a sensible answer when we get asked that question from young teachers, you know, how am I going to get better at this?
Well, the one way you're going to get better is by teaching. Mm-hmm. Now, you may want to give back all the money for the first 2 or 3 years you did that. But at the same time, the experiences that you gain, I love that. Just speed dating. I love that. Because each person is going to give you new information. And you're sitting there with a little library or a toolbox you're developing, and you get more information from this person. You know, I totally agree with that. But a good kind of representation for me is that I've got a lot of people with back fusion that I see. Okay? I mean, how do I do this? What do I do? And they don't think they can ever play golf again. Hell, they can play golf better after they get their back fused in many cases because they don't have the pain shooting down their legs. Well, I can't move like I did. You think you can't move like you did. So I went out and I did a little research on it myself and came back to try to hit a golf ball. And you know, 5-level fusion, I'm swinging with more mobility than I've ever swung with in my life. Why? Because I learned one thing. We're not swinging the body. We're swinging the club face. Oh, how does that work? Real simple. You start to feel the weight of the golf club. The golf club's being swung. All of a sudden, the golf club is telling the body how much it can do and how much it can receive instead of you trying to move the body to make the club move on the other end. All of a sudden, you start feeling the weight of the club. You start feeling the weight of the club. All of a sudden, your speed starts to develop, and boom. And that's been an eye-opening deal for me, big time, is, you know, different ways to teach different people.
Mm-hmm. Jackson, I think we had one or two questions come in. You want to get those, and we'll let Randy go after.
We got two questions that came in. How do you balance working on fundamentals with juniors versus skill development?
You're going to have to ask that question again. My phone popped up and we had a message from Jamie Mulligan on it. It scared me to death. Okay. What's that question again? I'm sorry.
How do you balance working on fundamentals with juniors versus skill development?
That's a heck of a question right there. Well, first of all, you got to prioritize what's the most important thing at that moment. Do they need a little bit of the skill development here? I mean, not a little, but some of the skill development to be able to create the illusion we're trying to create. So it depends totally on the student. If it's one of the deals where they're still working on this, that, or the other in the golf swing, we'll push that. But every single session has got to be tied back into creation of a shot at the end. So if you're using sticks and drills and this, and you got them doing it, okay, it's doing well. You want to be able to move them away from it, change the target, and see them go into creating the shot. And once they start creating the shot and smiling, then you go much more into shot creation than technique. The technique part, you got to work on that to get, you know, to be able to create it. But once it's starting to kick in, push it right straight into shots, hidden shots, heights, ball curves.
Another question.
Great stuff here. Jack,
what's your favorite strategy to building a really physically lanky junior with lower body awareness?
A what?
A physically lanky junior with lower body, with low body awareness.
That's a heavy question. I'm having to digest that. With low body awareness? I'll pass. The first thing I'm going to do, okay, I'm going to kind of go another direction with that. First thing I'm going to do is find out if this lanky kid has any athletic ability whatsoever. All right? He has no lower body awareness or body awareness or whatever. Is there any sport or activity that he's done? Oh, I played a little basketball. Okay, good. What else? Well, I played tennis for 2 years. Really? Why did you quit? I was too slow. Okay, how about your ground stroke? Can you show me what a top spin forehand looks like? Oh, I do it this way. Okay, can put the golf club in two-handed, do the same thing. Really? That's pretty cool. Put a ball in front of it, do the same thing. Wow, that ball curved right to left. I can't believe that. Well, see, you played tennis, so we can use tennis. So we'll get you aware, and oh, all of a sudden they get a little bit excited. And maybe they'd got a lot more awareness of what their body does than they thought, you know? So I'd find something that they have done. I mean, and that's with all students. I love it because I kind of teach a lot by Cliff's Notes. If anybody remembers what those were in college, Tony?
But I graduated because of it.
You bet. Well, I don't want to read the whole 450-page book. But if I've got a shortcut to getting the feel or sensation or creating a different move in the golf swing, and I can do it through common, you know, what have you ever done? I love fishing. Oh, really? Okay. What are you casting? I'm casting the lure on the end of my line. Oh, really? So with golf club, could you do the same thing? Oh, yeah, sure I can. You ever thrown a discus? Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Here we can do all that. If we can find something that makes it go quicker, I'm totally in on that. Because you can make five changes in a backswing just by getting somebody that has played tennis to hit a topspin forehand. And they're a Deadpool slicer. I'm going to say one thing, too. You know, I just kind of hit me about this learning and about how you build yourself, some good knowledge. And I bet you Justin and Tony both might agree on this. And you really don't think about it. You know where I think I've learned the absolute most about golf, period, over the last 30 years, 40 years, is from my best players. Absolute my best players. Mm-hmm. I've learned more about the golf swing watching the best players, which I've been fortunate to at least been around a few of them, and see what they do, how they respond to something, and watching how they go about it. And you think about it, watching a really good player with a really good short game, and you watch how they hit these particular shots. And then, well, we work for 3 hours, and I've got to go over here to Mr. Jones, a 16 handicapper, and give a short game lesson. And you walk over there with that fresh, how they hit it and whatever, it just totally helps you with that 16 handicapper. Because you've just looked at all this wonderful interaction with turf and bounce and ball and everything around the green. And then all of a sudden you're over there with this other gentleman and you're explaining what you just took the information from your best player right straight over to an 18 handicapper. It's not the same information, but it's the same interaction. It's the same interaction with the turf, so forth and so on. So I think the best player for any young instructor, the best player that you've got, the best technique, the best talent you've got, learn from them. And if you learn from them, I tell you what, you have a pretty good sized library.
That's awesome. Awesome. Randy, Jackson, do we have anything else? Randy, you have time for one more question if there's one?
Absolutely. Absolutely, because they can't start without me. I'm ready.
Give one more question, Jackson.
What is your favorite golf book and what is your favorite non-golf book?
My favorite golf book, my favorite non-golf book. Well, you can name a few. I might fib about it. I am not a prolific reader. I'm more of a prolific watcher. I'd rather be doing than reading. I'm sorry. It's just one of those deals. That's kind of held me back a little bit when I got to college and I thought I was going to be an English minor. But Little Red Book for Golf. I kind of like that one. I did read half of Golf in the Kingdom by Michael Murphy. Something about a cave and fire and swing the stick. I remember some of that, but it had some good meanings to it. Non-golf books. Let me look around the room. I'll fib about something. I really couldn't tell you. Yeah. There was a book about Coach Landry I did read. It was wonderful. I can't remember the name of it, but I still got it.
Randy, awesome stuff. Thanks so much for taking the time. I know this was great. I could sit and listen to you for hours, but I appreciate you taking time and sharing with everybody. And hopefully I can talk you into a Coors Light and doing this again sometime.
I'd love to, guys. It was a lot of fun.
Awesome. Thanks, Randy.
Randy, Justin, thanks. Guys, Jackson. Look forward to talking to everybody soon. Thanks.
Justin, you be good. Cheers. Jackson, take care. See you, Tony.
Thanks, Randy. Thank you, Randy.